I'm doing better. My voice is still slowly coming back. I'm not coughing as much, so I'm improving. Some others are improving as well. Someone told me it'd take about 3 weeks to get rid of it. So anyway, we're going to do this. This lesson is going to be a little bit different than what you normally hear from me, but I think it's one that it needs to be addressed. And we need to talk about it because this affects every one of us. And it's titled, When Life Turns to Despair. And there will be times when our world is turned upside down. And if you paid attention to the scripture reading this morning, you'll see that basically the writer, the psalmist, was in despair as he approached God and asked for God's help. All right. So even if things are going well for you right now, do not ignore this lesson, because sooner or later you're going to be in this situation and you're going to need to know how to deal with it. And in these times, we despair even for life. We sometimes feel crushed. We have the attitude of, what am I going to do? All is lost. Nothing's working out. What is wrong? And then we sometimes ask God those same questions. Why is this happening to me? And so we need to look at that, and we see how the psalmist said these things, and of course his reaction, and we need to follow a similar pathway and similar reaction when it happens to us. And of course there's many things that can bring on this type of despair. It might be health, it might be financial matters, it might be friendships or other relationships. It might be losing your job or something like that. And anything like this can bring us into despair. And if we don't do anything, it can even worsen to the point of depression and getting us involved into thinking that I'd be better off dead. And that's never the right way to look at it. So we just need to point out, it is not a sin to find yourself in despair. When you get to this point, that is not sinful of itself. Where it becomes a sin is if you get to that point where there's nothing can be done, so I'm just going to give up and die. I mean, when it gets to that point, okay, that does become sin. Because our command is to turn things over to God and let Him be working on it and not ourselves. See, God allows such tests to take place upon us. He's not going to stop that. His providence is not going to stop the testing of our faith. It is going to continue. Jesus told Peter that Satan has asked to test Peter. And Jesus said, well, I'm going to let him test you, but I'm going to pray that you overcome. And so these tests do come about. And it is crucial that we respond by faith. We need to have our faith so well established in ourselves and in our belief in God that even if a problem does come up, that we can basically handle that problem. And we do so knowing that God has our back. God is there to assist us. And in these times, sometimes when we feel this way, I mean, the number one thing on our mind is just survival. And some of us have experienced this where I just want to survive. I just want to live. And things are looking so bad. And survival, sometimes it's survival with the comforts that I'm currently using or whatever. And so, yes, we do talk about survival sometimes. And we all have to know that it is possible for our faith to fail. We all know people whose faith has failed. And they stop serving God. They stop believing in God. And now they've returned to the world. So it is possible. We also have to know that possibility lies within each and every one of us. It would be so easy just to say, I give up, and just quit having faith in God. it would be so easy. And some in this room have experienced that ease and taken advantage of it. And hopefully they saw the error of their way and they turned things around. But it is possible for our faith to fail. And a lot of this determines by the kind of faith we already have developed. We need to have this type of faith. 1 Peter 1:7 says that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. How strong is our faith? If we have a weak faith, then it's easier to succumb to these failures when despair comes upon us. It's easier to fall into that if our faith is weak. But if we develop a strong faith, knowing that God will protect us no matter what, then we can handle these things. And we establish the proof of our faith when we are faithful to God, no matter what the circumstances surrounding us are. Those who today serve God only when they feel like it will find it nearly impossible to do right at these times. In fact, it just goes without saying. As long as everything is going fine, as long as it doesn't get in my way, I will go ahead and serve God. But if all of a sudden things get messy and things don't turn out like I think they should, then I'll quit God. I mean, that's the attitude of some people. It's how some people act. And they are just an accident waiting to happen. They put on this facade, they put on this faith. Yeah, I'm faithful in my attendance. I come to church and we all love you and you love everybody else. But when despair comes upon you, how are you going to react? Some will just give up on God altogether. And that's just an accident waiting to happen. So that's why as a local congregation, as a church of God's people, we must build ourselves up. And there's many passages talked about building ourselves up. Ephesians 4:16, one of those, building us up. Each individual part is to be involved in this. We are to encourage one another, and we're to help one another and pray for one another. And we need to basically develop ourselves where we are prepared to handle no matter what comes our way. We do need to keep things simple, but not try to make things too easy. And this can be a problem. If you sugarcoat everything and make everything, oh, it ain't so bad or something like that, or kind of downplay the seriousness of what we're talking about, okay, that can get us into trouble. This is serious. Our souls, it is very serious for our souls to get to heaven. And we should never downplay any of that. We should never take things for granted. We should never take God for granted or our salvation or the church or anything like that. And this has caused the downfall of many local churches because they gave up on each other. We've all seen it, and through our lifetime, at least those of us who have been around a while, we've seen congregations fail. And they just dwindled down and died. And this has been a problem because they stopped building each other up. They got into neutral mode and they basically just drifted that direction. But when you drift, you're dying. There's no control. There's nothing to motivate you. And destruction is on the way. And so this can make people just as weak as water. And Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 14. He talks about the fact that, yeah, we need to test our faith, but you know what? Some people, they don't have the faith that will withstand the testing that God puts on them and the testing that this world puts on them, and they don't survive. And it's a real sad thing when Christians despise the discipline that will make them strong. Hebrews 12, verses 4 through 13 talks about this. It says, "Do not despise the discipline of the Lord, because the Lord chastises those whom he loves." We have to realize if we have a problem that God is going to present to us in either in the form of the preacher stepping on your toes or a brother coming to you in love saying, "I've noticed you're not really behaving like you should be behaving." I mean, we need to accept that and appreciate the kind of love that will cause someone to come to us and tell us maybe we're not on the right path. And we talk about that. And God disciplines those whom he loves. If he doesn't love them, he's not going to discipline them. Just then, he talked about we all had earthly fathers who disciplined us. Why? Because they wanted us to behave properly in society. And they taught us that way. So there are some things here we want to talk about from Psalm 143, which help us when we feel we are turned to despair. Make God your refuge. That should be the top and ultimate priority. Make God your refuge. No matter what comes our way, I still have God. And he is there to protect me. He is going to watch over me. He cares for me. And so the scriptures speak of knowing God. And yes, we do need to know God. We need to know God intimately. We need to experience God. You know, Psalm 34 and verse 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that God is good." In other words, we need to experience what God has done for us. And we need to appreciate that experience. You know, some people talk about these people who profess to know God, but yet their deeds deny him. Titus 1:16 tells us that. And anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. 1 John 4 and verse 8. So every step of the Christian life teaches us to trust in God and not in ourselves. You know, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 talks about that. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path." And so, that's what the Bible constantly teaches us to do. Put our trust in God. Let God guide us. He has. He's given us the tools that we need. He's given us his word. He's given us the instructions we need to be faithful to him and how to get through this life. The conversion from the world to Christ must involve this kind of faith. We are buried with him in baptism, as it says there in Colossians 2:12. And we are part of him. We become part of his church. And the real question is how we have developed this kind of faith. You know, sadly, some Christians have long stopped trusting God. In other words, they gave up on God a long time ago. They may still go to church every Sunday. They may do that, but they've given up on God. And sometimes that becomes evident when they're faced with situations we're talking about this morning. When all of a sudden things don't look good, they just give up. And they get into this such despair that they question how it could happen to them. Well, they've gave up their faith a while back. And we need to restore that faith. We need that healing faith that restores our confidence in God. And so the question is, will you obey God without question? We all said at one time we do. Most of us did. Yes, I will obey God without question. I'll do what he tells me to do. But then somewhere along the line, we stopped doing that. We got into a comfort zone. We haven't pushed the envelope or anything like that. And we just go along to get along. And that's how some of us act and behave. And as long as you're going along to get along, people may not recognize that, and they'll think everything is fine. Where inside, you've got problems, and you know you have problems. and you really don't know how to deal with those problems. Sometimes we have to open up to each other. See, those who know God will draw as close to Him as they can in these times. That's what the psalmist said, I will draw nigh unto thee. And so it's great to know that God will deliver. And this is a confidence. Now, like I said, from our scripture reading, the writer, he's in despair. I mean, he expresses that in beautiful language. And then what is he going to do about it? He's going to let God take over. He's going to let God do and protect him and to watch over him, protect him from his enemies and other situations. He's going to put his confidence in God. He says, God, you teach me. Show me what I need to do. Guide me, and I will follow your ways. And I have the confidence you will protect me from my enemies. I mean, so God is going to deliver. We have to believe that. And Abraham had that kind of faith. You know, when he was told to take his son and sacrifice him on the altar, Abraham reasoned among himself that if this is the seed of promise, then certainly God has the power to bring one back from the dead. And so Abraham had that kind of faith. I mean, there's great strength you have when you know these things. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord. It pretty much says the same thing as Proverbs 3, 5. I mean, we got to put our confidence and trust. Let us boldly approach the throne of grace and honor him with our lips. God wants us to turn to him even when our sin is the cause of our despair. Sometimes we commit a sin and we feel bad about it. It bothers us. So what do we do about it? Well, we should do things about it. We should recognize our sin and how it can destroy us. Or are we just going to put a band-aid on it that says, nah, that ain't going to bother me, and just continue on? No, we have to do this. In Psalm 51, David was overwhelmed by his sin, and he knew it was the cause of his destruction and all the problems that he had. And what was he going to do about it? Nothing? No. David was going to do something about it. He was going to turn to the Lord and confess his sin and be right with the Lord. We also need to humbly turn to God so that we may learn. Here's something else that some people do. I mean, well, I won't give up on God, but they stop learning. They stop studying their Bibles. They stop reading their Bibles. They stop going to Bible class because it's just too much of a hardship to get to Bible class. And besides, I don't learn anything anyway. Well, that's because you're not allowing yourself to learn anything. We learn a lot of things in our Bible classes. And we basically take our Bible classes and turn it into life application. We usually talk about things that affects me and how I relate to the world and how we should be treating each other. So we need to learn. You know, some of the best lessons of life are learned at these times when we're in despair. I mean, we got to learn these things. Sometimes we realize maybe we can't trust people, but you know what? We can trust God. And that's definitely a life lesson that is learned. You know, Job came around to see God clearly, and then he was blessed. You remember his problem? He lost his family. He lost his possessions. He lost practically everything. But yet Job finally acknowledged, yes, I have faith in God, and that's all I need. And when he took that attitude, then God turned around and blessed him exceedingly. But there are those who never learn from adversity. They give up. Those people are called fools. Proverbs 27, 22. They don't learn. Fools despise wisdom. And so, in order to learn, we must keep thinking and keep seeking. And this is where a lot of people get into despair. They stop doing that. Jesus said we are to learn from him, says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come and learn from me. And so that's what we need to do. Learn from Jesus. How did Jesus do this? How did Jesus handle it when he knew people hated his guts? How did he handle it when he knew they wanted to kill him? What did he do about it? He put his trust in God, is what he did, and gave us that perfect example. Now we must pour out our hearts to God, not only in our worship, but in our private prayers, when we're alone with God, in the solitude of our rooms, as we lay our head on the pillow, or whenever. We've got to pour our hearts out to God, and even in our worship, because he wants to carry this burden, right? 1 Peter 5:7, cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. And that's what we sometimes fail to do. We want to think more highly of ourselves, that we can handle it. We don't need to burden anybody else with our problems. And we don't need to burden God with our problems. He's got enough of his own, we might imagine. But you know what? He wants us to cast our cares upon him. It's because he does care about us. And David learned the power of worship both before and after. 2 Samuel 12:19-23 is the story where the little child whom he'd had in his adultery, the child was sick. And so David fasted and he was praying. And then all of a sudden he saw the servants whispering among themselves and asked, is the child dead? Then he got up and cleaned himself and then went to worship God. And this was surprising to his servants. But he explained that there's nothing I can do about that. That was God's decision. So I'm going to turn and worship God no matter what. So when you come to know God like this, there's going to be blessings there. And our blessings will make up for all the despair that we may be going through. And we need to give diligence to staying faithful. Because as we know, some people get into despair. They give up their faith. They lose their faith. And they question their very existence. Mistakes made here could destroy you. And we have to realize, if we don't do this, it can destroy us. Not only our relationship with God, but it can destroy our soul in the hereafter. God knows this, and he seeks to help. And other Christians seek to help as well. That's why we talk about Hebrews 12:11-13. Right after he talked about the discipline of the Lord, we've got to be there for each other. We've got to see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, as we read there in Hebrews 12. And so that's what we need to do. So we all bear a responsibility for each other. We all bear this responsibility. And if someone is looking sad and downtrodden, find out why. You know, when someone, you can tell sometimes when someone is sad because their countenance is low. And I've seen that in people. All of a sudden, they walk in, sadness on their face. You can just read it. What happened? Well, my sister passed away, or a loved one passed away. You can see it in their face. They're not the same person that they normally are. We need to recognize things like that and be ready to help in any way we can. If nothing else, just to give them an encouraging word and support, saying, well, we love you very much and we care about you and we'll be praying for you. I mean, that lifts a person's spirit so much. And we must be determined to heal the wound and not let it be fatal. When we see someone is suffering, we have that responsibility to jump in and apply the CPR, to apply this life-saving techniques. In other words, encourage them. Listen to God and your brothers. And do not quit the Lord. Here's something else that we need to be mindful of, and we've seen it happen We've seen people quit the Lord because they came into one of these situations of despair. Do not do that. Do not give up on Him. Always put your trust in Him and always follow Him. You know, some will stop coming to services, or maybe they'll decide, well, I need a change, and they might go to a group they know are doctrinally wrong. Well, they've heard it, but they just want something different. Don't let that happen. Others are going to stop being active in the Lord's work, and when they're not relevant, what do? They just fade away. How many people do we know who have just faded away? I mean, just look around, see who's not here anymore. And wonder, with some of them, we know they moved away, but others, they just stopped coming. And what do we do about it? See, those who quit God have denied themselves their only hope. See, God is their hope. And when they quit God, they have given up on themselves, and there's nothing that's good going to come from this. And sadly, many will deny quitting the Lord when that is exactly what they've done. And there are some who basically still go to church, but they've quit the Lord. And that takes self-examination to see, okay, do I fit in that category? You know, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. So do what is right regardless of how you feel. I mean, this is kind of hard for some people. I feel lousy, but you know what? I've still got to do what's right. That feeling lousy is no excuse to go ahead and do something that's wrong. There's never a good excuse for doing something that God considers sin or sinful. So, no matter what, do what is right. Do what God wants you to do. No matter how you feel. And so when we do so, it shows where our true priorities lie. And here, you will either live spiritually or you will die spiritually. One or the other. And God describes this as a purifying process for our hearts as well. Here we must get away from those who will only hurt your survival. And those people that are going to hurt your survival are the ones that say, I'll let them go. I mean, that's the attitude sometimes we seem to display when someone quits the Lord. I'll just let them go. They'll have to stand before God in judgment. I wash my hands of the matter. No. You know, even Pilate knew that it was wrong to let this man, Jesus, be killed. He washed his hands of the matter. But that didn't absolve him from his responsibility. He, being the governor, should have said, no, this is not right. We're going to do justice. You're not going to put this man to death because he's done nothing wrong. But Pilate gave in to peer pressure. And because he gave in to peer pressure, he was removed from his position. History tells us that he basically was cast off in disgrace because he allowed this to happen, this event. So he paid the price for it. And anybody who doesn't care about you enough to seek to help you, you don't need to hang around those people. You need to find people who care for your soul. And where are you going to find those people? Well, I guarantee you, it's not outside these doors. These people out there may be acquaintances, they may be family, but they don't care one bit for your soul. They don't care about your soul. They don't care if you go to heaven or hell. They really don't. But I'll guarantee you, everybody in this room cares if you go to heaven or if you go to hell. And if we see you on that pathway of hell, we need to do something about it because we care for you. Now, you also need to cast off all the excess weight in your life. And I'm not talking about pounds. All right. The weight we're talking about from Hebrews chapter 12, we need to cast off every weight and encumbrance that so easily besets us. And what are these things? Things that get in our way. We know we have a responsibility to attend church and Bible class, and we let things get in our way, and we don't make any effort to stop those things from getting in our way. We know we should be studying, but CSI is coming on, so we can't miss our show. We can't miss Hawaii 5-0. We can't miss Blue Bloods or anything like that. Well, that's why God invented VCRs and DVRs. I mean, you got to realize that. And we certainly, some people will not miss the ball game. Doesn't matter if the team is 0-55, they're not going to miss the ball game because they might miss a win. They might miss something good. Things that get in the way of our serving God, we need to find a way to cast them off because we need to survive, and those things are not going to help us survive. You know, these things you might think have a value, but if they're not essential to our salvation, we've got to cast them off. We've got to lay everything aside. Anything that doesn't contribute to my salvation is kind of a waste. And we need to learn that. See, Job's wife gave him some advice. She said there in Job 2, says, why don't you just curse God and die? Get it over with. I mean, she was in despair with all this stuff because she suffered the same losses as he did. But in all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. And he says, no, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what Job said. So he had to put away his wife's advice. And so when we're in despair, this is where our associates can either make us or break us. They can say the right thing and build us up, encourage us, or they can say the wrong thing and send us further into despair. The question is, are they seeking to point you to God's way? If they're not, then that's wrong advice. And some people never recover because of their friends. Their friends will tell you, you don't need those people at church. They're just a bunch of hypocrites. And so you listen to them. But see, your friends don't care if you go to heaven or hell. So who is the loser here? When we talk about these friends, those who give bad advice, in Proverbs 25, 4 and 5, those who give bad advice to the king, they're not his friends. And when we listen to those friends who just tells us to do those things that are against God, those aren't our friends either. Another thing we can do is look to the future good that God will work in you. See, some of us, we've forgotten the fact that God has plans for us. We have forgotten the fact that God wants us to do good works. And that is in our future. We need to look at that as being in our future. If we have nothing to look forward to, what incentive do we have to put forth an effort? There is no incentive. If you have no goal, there is no incentive. No incentive to improve yourself or anything like that. James tells us we should rejoice in our adversity. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you endure manifold temptations, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and endurance produces its perfect reward. So yes, we should rejoice in our adversity. When things are tough and we overcome, that's when we should enjoy our adversity, knowing that we're growing stronger. Why? Because in times of adversity, that's when I need God more than any other times. And if I put my faith in God and turned it over to God, I have become stronger. And when we become stronger, that gives us reason to rejoice. We are to be like Christ. Consider what Christ went through. Christ died because he spoke the truth. and people killed him. And Christ set the right example for us. And Christ was not going to go back on his words or change his tune or anything like that. And we shouldn't either. We should obey God rather than men. And that was the attitude of Jesus. That should be our attitude as well. And we know that God will prevail to bring good to those who love him. We demonstrate our love to God when we keep his commandments. And if we're doing what God wants us to do, things are going to work out. Romans 8:28 tells us that. It is, you can take it as a promise. Anytime God tells us something in his word, you can treat it like a promise. God promises good to those who love him. And it's because of a clear understanding of our hope. We have this hope. 1 Peter 1, 6-9 talks about that. And it says, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. That the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he goes down to verse 10, as to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied the grace that would come to you made careful search and inquiry. He was talking to the Christians, and this has been known for a long time. But the testing of our faith, and we need to be able to prove that, yes, I am a Christian first and a human second. There are times, remember, when Jesus asked, do you now believe? You know, from the very first miracle, first of all, one miracle should have been enough convincing proof. And that's what they saw. And they saw it over and over and over. These convincing proofs that this Jesus could not do anything on his own except to be from God. And he still had to ask his disciples constantly, do you now believe? Here I am, the Messiah. I've proven it to you by the signs and wonders that I've worked. And you're still questioning, is this really the Messiah? Sometimes when we read about these miracles, we sometimes ask ourselves, do I really believe that a man did this so many years ago? It may be we must find the answers at this time. And we look for these answers. Also, when we're suffering through this despair, and when we put our trust in God and our faith in God, heaven becomes more beautiful. That's something that's going to happen. Heaven will be more beautiful to us because you know what? God is there with open arms waiting for me if things don't work out here. I'll leave it in his hands. And whatever happens, let it be his will. And if I am faithful, heaven is going to be a wonderful place. And we know the pain will not last. We go through these problems in this life. We suffer in this life. And we know this life is just temporary. And the pain that we go through and suffer with, it's not going to last. It's going to go away. And when we walk into those pearly gates, nothing of this life will ever matter. What we had to endure, the time of our life here, the time that we've had to endure, all the problems we've had to endure will be as nothing because something will be much greater presenting itself to us when we do so. We have to realize God is going to use us in a future work. He wants us to do so. Our faith is perfected when we go through our trials and our problems and we remain faithful and strong. Our wisdom is increased. James 1:5 tells us that. And we have the wisdom that comes from above, not from the wisdom of this world. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4. And our influence for good is much greater. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to be a good influence around those around us. So what is this life really all about? You ask one person, the hope of heaven. You ask another person, woe is me. I mean, different people have different perspectives of it. And there's too often we say, woe is me. But we're going to give our real answer in times of despair. Our faith will be challenged, no question about it. But what will we do about that? So where are you now? Ask that question. If you have been in despair, are you willing to give it all up and give it back to God? You know, suffering when accompanied by a living faith will always work out for good. And that's true. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of Jesus. And there's nothing in this life that even compares to what the future life holds for us. So think about those things. We as Christians have this great privilege to be a child of God, to be called the Son of God. And we can only do that when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we hear the gospel and believe it and confess our sins, repent of our sins, confess His name before man, and baptize for the remission of sins. And when we do that, we begin a life, and we need to be faithful unto death. If this lesson has touched you in any way, and you feel compelled to respond to the invitation, we're going to invite you to come while we stand and sing.